everybody, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 96. We are 4 episodes away from episode 100, and we still don't know what we're going to do. Should probably start planning this out.
I feel like we should have people call in or something.
Yeah, something.
You know, we should. We should have people call in and say, hey, you should do this, this, and this. Here are some ideas. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Or nothing.
We got nothing. Episode 100 will come and we'll just kind of be like, well, we still haven't planned anything, so we're just going to do our normal.
We're going to. 150 is going to have a really great episode.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm your host, Dr. Venkman. And joining us today, we have Mazer. Hello, Mazer.
What's up, guys? How is everyone? I have found my nemesis.
Mazer's all trying to be cool.
Who's your nemesis?
My new nemesis. I have a startup I'm working on that's going to go in direct collision with Amazon Studios. So it's good to have competition. It helps validate the space, but no first mover advantage. But yeah. Hey, we'll see how that goes.
Sorry to hear that, Mazer.
That's fine.
Ben P's in the house.
How's it going, man?
It's going well. Excellent. Yourself?
Not too bad. I'm looking forward to whatever. I don't really know what I'm looking forward to. A lot of things, actually, but too many things for this podcast, so.
Now, you were looking forward to seeing the Black Swan this week, weren't you not?
That is opening some wounds, my friend.
I know, that's what I do here. I open up the wounds and then pour salt in them.
All right, well, let me go through that real quick since you opened that can of worms. We talked about the Fighter last week, and that was awesome. We all had a really, really great experience with the AFI Film Festival, with the world premiere and all that. So listen to last week's episode for our thoughts on that. And then a couple days ago, I had a friend in town, and we were trying to go see Black Swan. We ended up reserving tickets online, got there an hour early, waited in line for an hour, the movie was supposed to start. They said, oh, hang on, we don't know what's going on yet, wait in line longer. We waited for another hour, and then they came out and said, without in any communication in between, just said, sorry, we're at capacity, go home. So we essentially wasted 2 hours with reserved tickets, and there was no explanation, no nothing. I tried to contact AFI, they haven't responded. So, whatever.
Maybe there was no screening.
I don't know what happened. It was basically like one of the best film festival experiences I've had, and then two or three, whatever, how many ever days later, one of the worst. So I don't know what they're doing. And it's not like the AFI Film Festival is a new festival. They've been going for a while. No. They should know how to not overbook a theater for a huge movie like Black Swan, one that's riding all this award buzz and everything. They should know that the demand is going to be really, really high to see something like that. So I have no idea what was going on with that. But thanks for, pouring the salt in there, Venkman.
No problem. It's all good. I tried to get into the screening through the press, but no one ever returned my call, so...
Pretty typical.
Yeah, so I lose there. P. Vader, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, how's life?
Life's well at this point. I can say that.
Did you say well or swell?
Either or.
All right. Let's go with swell.
Okay.
I like right. swell.
There you go. Yeah.
And that right there, that voice you hear is, it's his first time here on the podcast. Tiberius is joining us. He's a fairly new writer to our site. He's been with us now for about a month.
About a month. Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome,
no
sir.
Problem. Yeah, we're happy to have you aboard. He's been doing a great job. No problem. So let's move on to some box office numbers and talk about some of these movies that came out this week, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, number one, Megamind made $29.1 million. This is its second week out in theaters, and it overtook the box office once again. So congratulations to DreamWorks Animation for making another successful animated film that I have yet to see.
I haven't seen it either, so don't feel bad.
We'll talk about it in the actual review section.
Yeah. Yes. Number two, Unstoppable. This is the Tony Scott film with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. That brought in $22.6 million in its first week. Not a bad opening weekend for a film I didn't think would get in the top five. But I guess there was nothing else coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Number three was Due Date at $15.4 million in its second week. Number four in its first week, the sci-fi thriller Skyline, $11.6 million. And, you know, we don't have this on the review on our review section because I don't think any of us have seen it.
Nope.
And I think right, so there you have it. There's a reason for that, and I'll quickly talk about that whole thing in a moment. And rounding out the top five is Morning Glory. That is the Harrison Ford grumpy film.
Well, the film is not a Harrison Ford film. It's a Rachel McAdams film.
It's a grumpy Harrison Ford. But our audience relates to Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
As far as I understand it, to actually, we had that chart where you have the, is this a strong female lead character? And it's like, oh, she's a love interest. She's that. This character actually probably doesn't fit any of those stereotypes. So, if you want to see,
have you seen Morning Glory?
Millie Kane saw it. She told me about it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
So she is.
Sure.
Rachel McAdams.
I haven't seen it.
Is a strong female character. Though,
yeah, she's a strong female character. Right. Who actually. She's follows her career and things like that, as opposed to, you know, chasing a dude,
gotcha.
Stuff like that. So, all
right,
yeah. If I saw it, I'd say I saw it. I've fessed up to some terrible films. So
you have. I just wasn't sure if this would be the time where you didn't.
No.
Okay. Well, before we get into the movie reviews and our new game that we're playing, Connect 3, I just want to quickly go through and throw out our announcements at this point instead of at the end, so you can actually, you know, listen to it this time around. If you want, if you're so inclined, go ahead and fast forward through it.
Don't encourage them to do that.
You're right. Don't. Listen.
Because they're quick.
Yeah, they are quick. We're going to go through them real quick. Okay, look. We got these t-shirts on sale. We got some glasses, Geek Tyrant stuff, geektyrant.me. If you want to declare your tyranny, then head on over to geektyrant.me and buy a t-shirt. You know, it's helping the site out. It's helping us out. It's helping you out. By becoming a much cooler person wearing our t-shirts. If you want to help keep the site going and keep, you know, just kind of keep it running, you can always donate at geektyrant.com/donate. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes as well. Leave a review. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any suggestions. We're open to constructive criticism. And of course, always fan us on Facebook, facebook.com/geektyrantfans, and Twitter at geektyrant is where you can follow us on Twitter, where we do daily updates of everything, and I kind of go through and talk to people and stuff like that. So you can do that. Also, we would like Ben P to plug his great podcast that he's working on.
Thank you, sir. Yes, it's the Not Just New Movies podcast. We've been fortunate enough to actually post those episodes in the Geek Tyrant feed on the main website, so check it out there, or you can track it down at notjustnewmovies.com.
Yeah, you know, actually, I gotta say, I saw maybe at least one or two tweets saying that was their new favorite podcast.
Yeah, really? I saw those too. Yeah. Yeah.
You
saw
no that. Way. Yeah. I've got to see those. I don't believe you.
I think there needs to be time for the Not Just New Movies Twitter account.
I guess you're right. I'm going to have to start that.
Step it up, Ben P. All right.
And also, Tiberius has a website. Why don't you go ahead and plug that while you're on here?
Yeah, that. Thank you very much. That is www.napiersnews.com. And basically, I cover a lot of the same type of material that Geek Tyrant does, focusing on a little bit more as well music and television and all sorts of trailers and a lot of great stuff you'll see on there. Pretty much rounds it on out.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. And Mazer, why don't you go ahead and get us started with some Connect 3
All right.
Business.
Rules are pretty simple. I'm going to give you three clues, and you've got to figure out if it's a director, an actor, actress, writer, producer, movie.
And
it could be anything.
And name that person, though.
Yeah,
right, too.
And okay. Actually name it. I'm going to try to give as few clues as possible. Obviously, whoever gets the most points wins this round, all right?
And you can yell out the answers before third connection
there's,
is named,
there's,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's very rare.
Yeah, it's very rare.
That makes no sense.
Sometimes we can get some really obscure. I tried to critique these a little bit. So, here's your first clue. Miami Vice from the 80s.
TV show.
Uh-oh. Okay. Not the movie.
Uh-oh.
Blade Runner.
Sheesh. Mel Gibson.
Final clue. Battlestar Galactica.
Chris Christopherson.
Miami Vice. The television show from the 80s. Blade Runner and Battlestar Galactica.
Wait, Blade Runner?
Michael
yeah.
Mann. I don't know.
Blade Runner.
Oh, Blade Runner.
What'd you think?
I thought Blade for some reason. That's why I said Chris Christopherson. I'm idiotic. Okay.
Ah, jeez. Okay. Well, you know, what's throwing this for a loop is the fact that you've thrown in a 1980s TV show that I haven't watched.
Yeah, television.
Since
I was
the final two clues should give you it. The other one is just something I didn't realize he was in.
So
and apparently every single episode. So.
I never saw Battlestar Galactica, so I'm a man down here. Edward James Olmos.
There you go. It was Edward James Olmos. He
All
was
right.
in Miami Vice. He was on 160
yes,
episodes.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty substantial character, actually, now that you bring it up.
All right.
Man, it's been so long. All right.
1 point, Ben. All right.
Ben wins the game again.
Here's your first clue for the next one. Lolita. Spartacus.
Wait, Lolita Stanley Kubrick version? Or Lolita Jeremy Irons?
You already said Stanley Kubrick. That's the answer.
Oh, shoot.
That was a rarity.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Because there's two Lolitas, so I wasn't sure which one
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, no. I wanted that clarification, too. I was thinking Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. Yeah,
All right.
My third clue would have been Full Metal Jacket, which would have been way obvious.
All right. Nicely done, right. Bankman.
Yeah. All right, next one. Clue number one, Date Night.
Uh-oh.
Number two, Spider-Man 3. And then Knocked Up.
Bruce Campbell.
Nope.
Mark Wahlberg.
No.
I think Wahlberg was
thing.
In Spider-Man 3.
No, I know.
Date Night, Spider-Man 3, and Knocked Up.
Who said I know?
No, I know that Mark Wahlberg was not in
yeah.
Spider-Man 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said you knew the answer. I was like, well,
no.
Tell me.
No.
Wait in anticipation.
20th Century Fox.
Nope,
that's not even right.
I'll give you a clue. It's an actor.
Okay.
Martin Starr.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Nope.
James Franco.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what?
I never saw Date Night.
He's
in
Mila Kunis. Where
yeah.
Like the drug addict.
Yeah.
He. I totally forgot that he was in.
And
that.
I gave you Spider-Man 3 just to throw you guys off.
Yeah. He was in all the
Spider-Man. It was Date Night that threw me off.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in the movie.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Good job.
All right. Next one. This is a character. These are all characters. Because I think this one might be a bit harder. Okay. Supergirl.
Okay.
Cameron Phillips. Or Phillip, sorry. River Tam.
Summer Glau.
Venkman. I mean,
It wasn't me.
Vader.
P. Vader.
P. Vader.
Yeah, the River Tam thing.
That's the only...
That's the Firefly. Supergirl?
Yeah, she's the voice of Supergirl. And my God. The coming Superman apocalypse.
The voice of...
Man, the voice of...
And then she's the other Cameron with the Terminator.
Okay.
The Sarah Connor.
Jeez Louise.
All right.
You guys...
Yeah. Here's the final.
That was obscure. That was good.
Here's the final one. This one might be hard. I don't know. Barry Pepper. Forrest Whitaker.
Oh man.
Species.
Kelly Preston.
Battlefield Earth.
Venkman.
Wow.
That's what I was.
And I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I still to this day have not seen that movie.
All right, I only did five, and we have a tie between Venkman and Ben P. Nice.
I think maybe it can just roll over to next week or something. I feel like we're not even really doing a good job of keeping score anyway on an overall level. But those are some pretty good suggestions.
There we go.
Nice.
So hopefully folks were able to shout some stuff out to us.
Nice.
I like picturing somebody just shouting things in their car as they're driving and listening.
No, see, I like the idea of them shouting in their cubicles while they're listening to this at work.
Yeah. Summer Glau! Summer Glau! Summer
All right, so let's talk about some of the reviews of movies that we've seen this week. Skyline. None of us saw it.
Nope.
There's a reason.
There's a reason why. Because
thank you.
Every review that is out there is completely negative. I know people that have seen it and have told me to just stay away as far as possible. It's just a waste of money, and there's no point, and the trailer is deceiving, and it's just a mess. Now, there's kind of a story. Do you guys know of the story of how Skyline got made? I just found this out yesterday. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I know, but you can read it.
So, the guys that are doing the special effects for a movie coming out next summer called Battle Los Angeles, they went... The guys that did the effects for that film also did the effects for Skyline. They used some of the money that they got to do the special effects for Battlefield Earth to make the special effects for Los Angeles.
All right.
Sorry, Battlefield Earth on the mind.
Those guys kept that Battlefield Earth money.
Did Mazer now I'm not going to be able to get Battlefield Earth out of
my
head.
And they saved that money because they were like, you know what? We might not work again after making this film.
This thing goes back further than any of us could have known.
So they built the effects for Skyline off this money that they got from... Battle of Los Angeles, and they did it without a script. They just kind of put these effects all together that would look cool, and then once they had that, they built a story around the effects that they created, and they put the whole movie inside an apartment complex type thing.
That was genius, depending on who does it. Right?
Yeah. Sure. If you say so. Moving forward with anything without a script is always on dangerous territory, but
that's how we get prequels.
Yeah, so it didn't really pay off for them, I don't think. I think it just hurt them in the long run. And there's a lawsuit going on now between the makers of Battle Los Angeles and Skyline, because they did that, because they were making another movie with the money that they got for Battle Los Angeles, at making it at the same time as they were doing that. So there's,
I don't
this
see
whole...
how a lawsuit like that would be valid. That'd be like you suing Industrial Light and Magic because some of the team from Industrial Light and Magic took the money that you paid them to go make another film. That just seems ridiculous.
Well,
I don't think it's going to stand up in court, to be honest with you. That's not going to get far.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Either way, Skyline sucked, and Los Angeles looks like it's going to be great. So,
yeah.
I can't stop watching the trailer for that.
That's
pretty freaking awesome.
Robotic auto-tune voice singing plus all the battle stuff.
Wait a second. Am I the only person here who didn't really care for the trailer for Battle of Los Angeles?
Well, you, sir...
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I got. You know what? I saw it and I liked it. It didn't. I have a more visceral feeling out of having watched like trailers from Halo than watching the trailer for this film. But that said, it does feel like I've got a sneak peek at something larger, and that's what it's exciting to me. I gotta say, but
well
it's
said. Well
it's
said.
Not a full. It's is it a full trailer? Or is it just a teaser?
You know, I think it was more of a teaser.
I think it was technically a teaser. Because we didn't. I mean, I think we only saw probably like 2 seconds of Michelle Rodriguez, and I don't. Did we even see Aaron Eckhart?
Not much, for briefly.
Yeah. So I think
briefly.
Yeah, it was more of a building feeling. So, I mean, yeah, I gotta say it's not all the way there, but it's almost.
Yep. So instead of spending our money on Skyline, because Mazer and I were planning on seeing Skyline until everyone we know told us not to, we ended up going to see Tony Scott's new film, Unstoppable.
I'm Wolf Coulson. We're working together today. Train 1206.
Is there a problem?
I just don't like working at a damn daycare center.
I don't like working at a retirement home, so.
All right. This ain't training. In training, they just give you an F. Out here, you get killed. Married?
Sort of. It's a long story.
How about you? You married?
Got 2 beautiful daughters.
Ooh, have fun.
What do we do when we get to a railroad crossing?
We have an unmanned train rolling into a highly populated area with no air brakes?
Yeah.
1206, 1206,
what's up?
There's an unmanned train on the northbound track.
It's under power?
It's coming straight at us.
What are we worried about in terms of cargo?
8 freight cars of hazardous chemicals. We're not just talking about a train. We're talking about a missile the size of the Chrysler Building.
I need to know where that train is.
We're not exactly sure.
You're not sure? We'll find out.
Watch out!
I wasn't expecting much when I went and saw this movie, but I loved it.
Wow.
I thought it was awesome. I went in there with zero expectations, and I came out of the movie just having watched probably one of the coolest train films I've ever seen.
Nice.
I gotta say, I enjoyed it, but I have to explain the context of which I enjoyed it. But I'd like to hear actually what Jim has to say about.
Well, you know, I grew up, my father has a love for trains. So I grew up with train magazines around the house, him rattling on about trains, having, you know, train sets around the house, that kind of stuff. So, I you know, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's trains, okay? And on one hand, I got that. And then I got, on the other hand, Denzel Washington. I'm a huge fan of Denzel Washington. I don't know, there's never been a movie that he's done that I haven't at least somewhat enjoyed. So those two coupled together had me, you know, I just was, and then on top of that, Chris Pine, I think is decent. And I you know, I liked him in Star Trek and, you know, so,
now,
you know.
NP has a crush on Chris Pine.
I don't even know where this comes from.
I don't know either.
Okay. I'll play that role, Venkman, if that's what you're having me do. I will, yeah,
but I thought the movie was a little short. It was shorter than I expected. I mean, it flew by. It literally flew by. You know, just like the train was flying by. I mean, it was a quick, quick film.
It was a very fast-paced film. I totally agree. I thought the pacing was great. I thought the time frame was good for that movie.
No, I agree.
And it was fast-paced. I mean, I was on pins and needles in some of those scenes. Yeah. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, I know it's a good movie when my wife sits next to me and squeezes my arm at certain scenes. So anytime that happens, I'm happy about it. The only thing is I have to contend with some jackass in the background sitting behind me saying that he knows everything about trains and how, oh, that's not possible. I don't really care, friend. Shut up. You know? You know, I mean, keep your chatter to a minimum. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I did not see this movie, which is a segue, because I did not see it based on my good friend Ben P's opinion of it, and I'm going to let him take the mic right now.
Well, no, all right, listen, because of how highly you guys are touting this right now, I want to just slam this movie apart, and not, because I kind of came down on like, meh, whatever, it was average, but because you guys were like, I kind of just want to like rip it and like rip into it. I'm not actually probably going to do that, but
you're allowed. We're not going to kill you.
All right. Well, maybe I will then. I don't know. Listen, like this movie. Where do I even start with this? Nothing. Man, this one's tough. Let's go to Mazer first. Let me kind of compose my thoughts.
So I just watched the Back to the Future. I got it on Blu-ray. Very excited. Watched the special features. And in Back to the Future 3, Zemeckis says, trains are a movie maker's, like, that's their dream because you don't have to tell the audience where they're going. You know exactly what's going to happen and you can do everything a lot quicker. This film has the problem that we know that it's based on a true story and we know everything went fine. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's also the only reason I kept watching this film. If this film was not based on a true story and the events that happen in it weren't a real person didn't do them, I would think this was a ridiculous story and was way too formulaic.
Yeah.
But it actually happened.
Yes.
Of course, Hollywood takes their liberties to add and subtract things.
I feel like the last third of the film was really exciting. The first third was really kind of boring for me. And the middle part, well, it's kind of what I expected the film to be, where you kind of, you know, we're on a track and, oh, we're headed in the same direction and, oh, no, there's kids and all sorts of things like that.
See, the problem with what you just said, though, I agree with you that the first portion was really kind of boring. But that, in truth, when you think about it, the setup for the characters and why we actually care for those characters, even though it was kind of muddled and very quick at times, and you know, it wasn't all, you know, I would have liked to have seen more in some instances. It really, really was important, I think, because, you know, yeah, we care about people generally, but if we understand that Denzel Washington's character, you know, is trying to regain his daughter's love and caring and rebuild that family, and Chris Pine's character is trying to, you know, connect with his wife again after screwing things, you know, that type of thing. If we didn't have that, I don't think we'd care for them as much and root for them throughout that last portion of the film.
I didn't find those character motivations or developments or whatever to be interesting in the least, though. I thought the entire movie is just comprised of walking cliches. Every single character, from Rosario Dawson's kind of tough, nose-to-the-grindstone, underappreciated worker who is essentially like House on TV. Like, she's the only person who knows what's going on, and nobody believes her until the very end when she's proven right. And like the totally buffoonish boss, which is played by Kevin Dunn, who's the dad in Transformers, who is just like inept to a level that is very rarely seen on screen. Like, to a degree where they are just painted as this kind of evil bureaucracy corporation.
Yeah, they didn't even, like,
terrible decisions that, like, have... It doesn't show them really struggling with those decisions at all. So it just shows them, like, looking at the numbers and being like, oh, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. And, like, you know, obviously Rosario Dawson is trying to kind of bring across the heart to the movie, you know, and, like, bring the human connection to it or whatever. And they're just like, anybody in that scenario, regardless of how evil this movie may want to portray somebody, would not react the way that these people reacted. So all of that aside, just the leads weren't that really interesting to me. They, you know, I don't know if you guys saw that on SNL, the trailer of the fake trailer with Jay Farrow, who's the guy who does the Denzel Washington impressions now. It was really, really awesome. I'll try to find a clip and play it in the middle of this podcast if I can track it down. But it's just them, like, on the train arguing back and forth about, like, you're too young, you're too old. And, like, she, like, calls in from the call center or whatever, and she's like, how's it going? And he's like, well, we're begrudgingly becoming, you know, closer friends and realizing that we have more in common than we thought. And it's just like, it's the same type of story that we've seen 100 times, but Tony Scott adds nothing new that we haven't seen before. It's like, that's what I expect from Tony Scott, is to take these kind of stock generic stories, like the revenge story with Man on Fire, like, you know, something maybe with, like, time travel with Deja Vu and Top Gun and all that kind of stuff, and show, not that there's time travel in Top Gun, but a fighter pilot movie like Top Gun, and show something that we haven't seen before, whether that be the kind of awesome aerial stuff that was in Top Gun, or just, you know, the technology aspects, the kind of sci-fi aspects of Deja Vu, the just, like, utter badassery that is Man on Fire with Denzel. And there's nothing new here. It's his standard kind of shaky cam.
He portrays the news as the most efficiently intelligent and, like, organized thing I've ever seen. Like, they had 3D graphics of things and stuff like that.
it was like the thing from Titanic when they're all, like, gathered around the monitor and it shows, like, what the ship does, like, with these, like, scientists. But yeah, they can do that on the local news. And the other thing with the news that I noticed was, like, every time somebody turns the corner and looks at something, it happens to be the exact thing that, you know, like, just the timing was, like, perfect. And that's, like, a problem on a script, like, a screenwriting level, but I don't know. Like, there was so little time on the setup with Denzel and Chris Pine that it was just nothing more than kind of paper-thin characters to me, so I didn't really care what happened to them.
Yeah.
I did.
I respect your opinion. I did, too.
I thought, well, we all have our different opinions, obviously.
Yeah. For me, this was only exciting because someone actually did it. If someone didn't actually do this, this wouldn't be that very interesting of a film for me.
Can I spoil the ending, since we've already kind of said that
it's based on a true story?
Spoilers for real life. Yeah. Okay. Well,
you're not spoiling much. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's one particular aspect that I wanted to kind of spoil. So, I don't know. If you want to see Unstoppable, then just fast forward just a little bit if you don't want this plot point to be revealed.
Real quick, too, here's the thing. It's like, it's not a movie you have to see up on the big screen. You don't have to go pay $12 to go see it. You can wait for it to come out on DVD to watch it.
It's going
to
be a TNT mainstay for a long time, I think.
There you go.
Okay, so the one thing, there's no danger in this movie at all.
Yes, there is.
No. The things that come on the
kids, the school bus, and the kids, and they almost get hit.
Yeah. Almost. Almost. But
you know, the problem with that tension is there was only tension for like 2 minutes.
And for tension to work,
what a strenuous 2 minutes that was.
For tension to work, you have to show that there are stakes involved. You have to show that people will die because this thing is out of control. And they didn't show anything to make this train scary in any way. Like the kind of beast, this unstoppable beast that it's supposed to be. Because they had it... Yeah, it blew through some cars or whatever that happened to be on the tracks that were unmanned. Nobody got killed. The one guy that they fly in from the Marines or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That they have him go down and he, like, crashes through the window and everybody's like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. And you think he dies. They reveal in the end in this kind of, like, Animal House like epilogue of like what happens to all the characters afterwards. They're like, hey, that guy that you thought you died and the only person who represented danger in this movie at all actually lived miraculously with no explanation,
except for that engine engineer.
Which one?
The one that went off the rails.
Oh yeah, okay, the old guy, right?
The old guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, right. A guy did die. Oh, yeah. That was sad.
All
right,
fair enough. Okay, I forgot about that. That's fair.
But even
enough.
Then, they didn't.
But he was old. You know, there's no tragedy in that.
It seems odd. The number of things. It seems odd.
He could die. That's a fine.
The number of things, like they found ways to not underline things. Yeah. Like, I just remember the scene where, there's the two idiots that basically allow this train to go free.
Yeah.
They don't underline it in any way, and I felt like that was the right way to do that scene, because that's probably what it felt like to be there. They just thought it was a little minor problem and kind of, oh, crap. And then the second you find out that it's under power, instead of just coasting, I feel like Rosario Dawson, her character was to underline the importance of everything that was supposed to be, quote, important. And for some reason, when that guy died, I don't feel like her character
concentrated on that
at all. It seemed really odd.
I'm going to be straight up and tell you guys, this movie made me want to be a train conductor. Okay?
I know.
Now that I'm in between jobs, I am going to focus my time and attention on becoming a train conductor.
Well, you better watch out, because the grizzled veterans at the train yard are not going to have you. I'll tell you that.
Because they've already lost half their pension.
Right.
Yeah.
The only patch of brightness to me in this movie, and the one thing that I did kind of like, which also was very stereotypical, by the way, was Ethan Suplee. It's like, oh, great, the fat guy screws it up again, like, but he, like, actually emoted, I thought. Like, he, you know, it shows him kind of watching the news and stuff after he screws this whole thing up. And you can really sense that guilt on his shoulders. I thought he did a good job in the movie. Everybody else, I thought, relatively coasted through. Chris Pine was not nearly, and you know, again, it's the character. He's not nearly as kind of charismatic as he was in Star Trek. Denzel did a fine job, but it's, you know, it's typical Denzel. Like, it's not him taking any chances. Nothing in this movie takes chances.
Yeah.
It's all just very exactly. It plays out exactly the way you think.
There's something to having a character just be so wise that he knows everything, instead of him figuring things out through intelligence or through testing that the audience can see, that is kind of boring.
Yeah.
It
distances you from him a little bit, because you're like, okay, well, this guy knows everything.
Yeah, knows it.
He knows way more than me, so why should I care about it?
When he has this crazy plan, of course.
Yeah. Again, it's like the house syndrome. He's like, oh, there's 13 cars in this track, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and Chris Pine's like, I don't know, I think it's going to fit. And he's like, nope, I've been doing this for however long, you know, like,
been doing this for 25 years. Yeah. Okay, look. Yeah, you're right.
That's all. I mean, okay, overall.
Yeah,
just overall,
is that what you
like,
want me to say, huh?
I think it's a competent movie. I'm not saying that this is one of the worst movies of the
year. It's not unwatchable.
Like that. Yeah, it's definitely very watchable. I was just trying to lower the expectations a bit from the kind of quasi-hype that you guys were providing.
That's okay.
I would say, there's no lulls, really not too many low points. Even, like I said at the beginning, it kind of dragged, but it was... It helped set up the momentum. So
all right. So there you go. Rent Unstoppable.
Definitely.
All right.
Okay, so Megamind came out a couple weeks ago. I haven't seen it yet. We still haven't really talked about it. Mazer went and saw it. I don't know if any of you have seen it yet.
I did.
Anybody else?
Chance. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I haven't.
What did you guys think?
I had a fairly standard childhood.
Hurry, there isn't much time.
With parents who couldn't wait to get me out of the house.
You are destined for greatness.
That was a lot of expectation to place on an 8-day-old. Turns out another family in the Glaupunk quadrant had a very similar idea. That was the day I met Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. And our glorious rivalry was born. our battles quickly got more elaborate.
You've fallen right into my trap.
You can't trap Justice.
He would win some. I would almost win others. He took the name Metroman. I decided to pick something a little more humble.
Megamind. Incredibly handsome master of all villainy.
Mazer?
Tell us about Megamind.
I wish I had seen none of the promotional material or the trailer or anything, because I feel like I would have enjoyed... My enjoyment of this film would have been, like, double. But because I knew basically all the twists and all the characters and everything, it just removed the joy out of experiencing those things for the first time. Because being at Comic-Con, there are moments in the film that I learned of, and I was like, wow, that is amazing. And, like, that's what I wish I could have felt while watching the film, as opposed to hearing about that idea or seeing it in the trailer. That said... this film's not a classic by any measure, but it's definitely fun to watch. It's pretty interesting to see Will Ferrell's voice coming out of this weirdly huge blue-headed evil guy.
Those blue-headed evil guys.
Yeah.
They get me every time.
Yeah, I thought the voice cast did a really great job. Brad Pitt had kind of a small role, but he was good. Will Ferrell was really great, I thought. Tina Fey was, like, perfectly cast as the kind of Lois Lane character. And Jonah Hill was, you know, a little bit more annoying, but still...
I felt like it could have been anyone... Anyone else could have done that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe... he did it well enough, but...
And David Cross, who was the kind of sidekick.
David Cross.
He was really, really good.
Yes.
But the movie itself, I think, you know, obviously plays really, really hard on the Superman mythos and that kind of, those relationships that we're all aware of. Like, the most basic kind of, you know, any kid, basically, since this is kind of a kid's movie, is familiar with the mad scientist and the hero with the cape and the flying and all that stuff. And, you know, so it had these really, really broad archetypes and stuff. But... I don't know. I would say this is for kids who haven't even seen Superman yet. Because once you've seen Superman and you can see, like, in a way that these archetypes interact with each other, Megamind just doesn't really reach that. Like, it doesn't really come close to that. You see... Yeah, they do the whole flipping thing where it's like, of course, the movie is called Megamind. It's not going to be about a villain for the entire movie. You know he's going to turn into... a good guy, because it's a kid's film, and, like, that's how kids' films operate. So, you know, that's kind of a twist that they play on a little bit later, but, I don't know. For one of these movies, I think it's okay. There was something... It didn't have the spark to it that something like How to Train Your Dragon or, you know, any Pixar film or something like that did.
Yeah.
I felt like... And it wasn't bad. I'm not saying, like, oh, it's DreamWorks, it's automatically bad, because they've put out some good stuff, but I'm just saying, you know, the voice work was great, and they did a really good job with that. It's just the script itself I didn't think was necessarily that brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was solid enough to be entertaining, but... And,
I was entertained, most definitely.
But like I said, like, if I had not known any of the twists or anything like that, mm-hmm. I think I would have enjoyed it way a lot more.
I think, and also, you know, mentioning the Superman thing, something that I forgot was that Will Ferrell's character, Megamind, kind of takes on the persona of Marlon Brando from Superman. So
nice.
That's something that, like,
that's cool.
Superman fans will obviously pick up on.
Yeah.
That will go way over the heads of kids. You know, there's, like, kind of a love story angle to it, and, like, to me, it was like a B-list version of The Incredibles.
Yeah, definitely.
Even story-wise, like, not necessarily on the family aspect, but of the villain aspect, like, who actually becomes the real villain of the movie, that seemed very, very similar to the through line of that same kind of character in The Incredibles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's super referential to a lot of things. Did you see it in 3D?
I did not.
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay, so the 3D was all right. I mean, it's what you... It's okay. It's not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about How to Train Your Dragon's great flight scenes and seeing Guardians of Gahul
mm-hmm.
in 3D. That had some cool flight scenes.
Yeah, that was
but there
amazing.
Was something about watching basically Superman flying in 3D that just got, like, I was, like, super excited. And it was, like, maybe for, like, 5 seconds or 10 seconds that he's actually flying in his in a Superman-ish way.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's
Metro Man.
And I was like, I hope they shoot this coming Superman film in 3D, because I feel like I am more connected with the character in flight than probably I would if it was just flat in 2D. It was pretty...
You know they're gonna film it in 3D.
Yeah, I really hope
it's gonna happen.
Because he just did this thing where he just leaped from a building to a building and then just flew and then just zipped right through other ones, and like you're just following him through this like chase, and you're just like, that is really, really exciting.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because yeah. I didn't really have that kind of visceral experience, and I saw it in 2D, so I think it really must have had like a huge deal.
Because you just felt like the volume of everything. And something about the 3D just helped enhance the speed and the fluidity of the flight. I don't know, but yeah.
One little joke that I loved throughout the whole movie was Will Ferrell's mispronunciation of things.
Yeah.
He calls Metro City Metrocity, which, like, I don't know. It's something that's so simple and stupid, but it's so endearing with this character who's kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, he's also kind of buffoonish and just, like, ridiculous and...
Yeah, just right off the bat, he's, like, he's not even a credible villain in any way.
Yeah, everyone makes fun of him. Tina Fey is the reporter who gets hijacked in the beginning, and she's just, like, bored and yawning when he's, like, trying to execute his grand evil plan because she knows that it's not going to work, because it never works.
Which is interesting when there's a, quote, competent villain, and he's somehow less interesting being competent.
but I would say, you know, if you've got kids and you're looking for something like this, that you can definitely do way worse at the box office.
Yeah.
If
Harry Potter is somehow too violent or scary, I don't know, we'll take him to Megamind.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
take him to Harry Potter. What
are and like hardcore hardcore Will Ferrell fans who just love everything that he does can wait for DVD and stuff, but I would say watch it, like, even if you're a hardcore Will Ferrell fan, just because he gives kind of a funny performance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So let's move on to some of the big geek news that's hit this week. A lot of it just in the last day.
Yeah.
We got the Green Lantern trailer that just popped up a couple hours ago for us.
Yep.
Awesome. Yep. I thought it was awesome. What'd you guys think? talk about the Green Lantern trailer. Let's get into some discussion here, people. Well,
do you want to have more positive or more negative reviews?
What did you think? We're not going to sugarcoat this crap.
All right.
Give the audience the truth.
P-Vetter, tell us what you thought.
I'm not quite on the same boat as you, Venkman. I thought there were impressive aspects about it. But, I don't know. It had a little bit of a Fantastic Four flavor mixed in. It kind of reminded me of it a little bit there.
Ouch.
Yeah, just... I don't know what it was. And maybe it was the suit. That's not really true, but maybe it was, like, the space part of it. Just kind of...
It feels like the way comic book movies used to be made.
Right. That's...
Oh, and not the way Marvel makes their films.
Man. Yeah.
And not the way Nolan makes his films.
That's hitting the nail right on the head, I think.
It does feel like early 2000s. Like, it's got that vibe.
Wow.
It.
Yeah, like a Hulk movie or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have it's the pink guy, it's the orange guy, it's the green guy, it's the yellow guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that same feeling from the trailer.
Yeah, Tiberius, what did you think?
Well, I mean, the colors are amazing. The sound looked really brought you in terms of a basic look. And I haven't been to the Comic-Con panel or anything on that, but I heard a lot of buzz from then on up until now that the web's just been chattering about this trailer. And I think today's release earlier in the day really – really, people have been excited about it, and I wasn't blown away by it. I mean, the trailer was great, but I have a feeling that there's going to be showing way too much stuff in this trailer and the subsequent trailers, before this movie comes out, that I'm probably going to see the entire film before I see it in theaters.
Yeah. Oh, that's with any Warner Brothers film, though. They market their movies.
I know.
They market the hell. I've already seen half of the Harry Potter film, and right now they're worried that the first half of the film is hit the BitTorrent sites. And
well,
people
not,
are down.
Not, not, they're not worried. 36 minutes of Harry Potter is circulating on the BitTorrent sites currently.
That's yeah. The amount of footage they've released on their own.
It's just somebody compiling all the trailer footage.
No, but it's
one long
the
trailer.
First. It's exactly. The first 36 minutes of the film.
Yeah, right on. Still, yeah. I'm sure before that happened, they wouldn't have had any problem releasing the first 5 minutes of the movie. You know, it's just I don't know. Anyway, I know we're definitely gonna end up seeing a lot of Green Lantern before the Green Lantern is actually released in theaters.
Yeah,
so
that's a given. You're
I don't
right.
know. I was excited. I watched the trailer. I liked the costume designs. I liked what I saw. You know, I kind of kept in my mind when I was watching it that the effects weren't finished yet. At least I hope they weren't. You know,
see, I don't know if we have enough evidence to prove that that's true, though. That's
I know,
thing.
but that's like in the back of my mind. I'm like, they still got because when they first released the trailer for Iron Man, you know, the effects weren't completely finished, and so when the finished product came out, it looked even better. So, I don't know, maybe they're still going through
but,
the process. They still have until next summer.
But
too.
Even those unfinished Iron Man effects still looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's the
you
difference.
Know,
this stuff looks like it was photoshopped.
It looks like a CW TV show. It looks like something that would be on Smallville, honestly.
Yeah.
Like very
the,
good point.
The stuff at the very end with him, like where Ryan Reynolds like snaps into his suit and it's suddenly on him and he's wearing the mask and it's all CG.
It looks really bad.
Awful. Like so bad.
I went through it frame by frame and it's pretty interesting to see how much of it is CG. Like, pretty much, you can tell that they don't even use his eyes in it and stuff. Like,
the whole movie looks like it's CG.
The whole mask on his face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm like, this is pretty much a CGI film. This is Avatar.
Heavy CGI.
Not Avatar CG quality.
No, I'm not saying Avatar quality. I'm just saying the heavy CG like Avatar.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I was willing
no
to
way
give
Avatar quality.
I was willing to give the muscle glow look a chance, but seeing it now, I hate it. It looks terrible to me, and the scene that it just looks so bizarre because like there's a scene where he's like his arms are out and he's Flash and he's laughing and you can see like every single muscle in his abdomen as he's laughing while he's inhaling and exhaling. It just looks like they peeled off his skin and painted him green and fed him like uranium. That's what it looks like. And it doesn't look like the Green Lantern to me.
I don't know. I've never been that big of a Green Lantern fan, so I'm not sure how hardcore fans are treating it. Like, I would be interested to hear, something like what Alan Treherne thinks, because he's been a huge Green Lantern fan for a long, long time. And I think, something that P. Vader said earlier, where it reminds you of Fantastic Four, I think that's right, and I think it's because of the space aspects a little bit. You know, something like Rise of the Silver Surfer was the only real superhero movie, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that we've seen in the past decade that's really dealt with space in any way at all, really, with the exception of, I guess, the first Fantastic Four had them out in the space station briefly.
Yeah.
But
briefly.
Aside from that, I don't really think there's been any, and Silver Surfer just barely kind of flew through space, but that Silver Surfer had that kind of full-on, what is essentially Ryan Reynolds' bodysuit, CGI suit. Like, that's the kind of look, I think, that this has. Yeah. Okay, so removing Ryan Reynolds and the Green Lantern CGI from the equation, the rest of the movie looks kind of cool. Like, the production design is cool, and like Tiberius said, the colors, I think, are really vivid. And there's, like, that thing that looks like the arc reactor that looks really awesome. It's all, like, orange and purple and stuff. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, like, some of those space shots do look pretty cool, but when you insert a CGI Ryan Reynolds into them flying around, it loses some of its majesty, I think.
Yeah.
Alright.
Also, seeing Mark Strong, his particular transformation into Sinestro was pretty interesting looking.
I was thinking the same thing. I don't know.
Did they even show Mark Strong as a human, or is he not supposed to?
He's an alien.
Okay, all right. I remember them, like, that one shot of him. Yeah, but it was honestly forgot that he was in it because they only show him for just a second. But another thing about this, and you guys were talking about the marketing of Warner Brothers, I think this trailer is so broad. They're just trying, you know, you're talking about being kind of ruined, you know, hopefully that they don't show all this stuff. I think this trailer, more than any of the others that we're going to see in the future, just crams so much into it to try to, because this is the first look. Normal people who don't follow the stuff that we do all the time don't know anything about Green Lantern. They don't know who this character is. He's not one of the big ones, you know? This is somebody who's flying around with a ring in space and can make a fist out of nothing. Like, it's kind of a crazy concept for the general public to grasp, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like they're trying to do as much as they can in this first trailer because they feel like it's ride or die on this one thing. Like, you have to pull in those people, so they're just cramming all these, you know, kind of space shots that remind me a little bit of Thor, honestly.
Yeah.
Some of the like really wide shots of all the space stuff going on, and then also the entire first half of the trailer, which has nothing to do with Green Lantern, and it's all just Hal Jordan in there. So I think they're trying really hard with this trailer.
So they're putting their stakes out pretty far.
I think that's the way I read it.
And if people react badly to a particular part, they'll just bring it in a little bit.
I think that's what they're doing.
And the thing is, it's a CG suit, so they can still manipulate it if there's way too much criticism about it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm guessing they've probably done a couple variations of every scene along the way as far as rendering and stuff like that, just in case something horrible like that happens and people just absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
They probably, if they're smart, they would have done that, a backup that, you know.
The suit is, like, it looks different from scene to scene, which is some of what is odd to me. Just because because when he's powered up, like, more of those lines come out, and then when he's not, then it just looks kind of like a regular suit. The thing is, like, it's so skin tight. We've never seen a suit like this before.
Yeah. It practically is his skin. It's kind of unnerving a little bit.
It's like the Inside Out Man. Something always, like, bizarre about it.
All right. Well, let us know what you guys all thought about it after you watch it, if you haven't yet.
But I've got to say, like, Ryan Reynolds is the right guy for Hal Jordan. I don't think that's fully him in the trailer, but just from Comic-Con and how he talked about the character and stuff like that, he seems to have understood it. So
sounds good.
Let's just hope Martin Campbell does.
Yeah.
Well, it should be interesting to see how the movie actually turns out in the long run.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We shall see.
Oh, one other thing. Sorry, we keep, like, stretching this part out. Something else that I noticed, and I don't know if you guys caught, was that, and again, a Warner Brothers thing, they're trying to, with the text and stuff, they had that kind of green rumbling flame with the text, like, expanding outwards. It was like the Dark Knight all over again, you know? Like, with that blue flame and stuff. Like, you could tell that they were trying to kind of subconsciously remind people, like, oh, this is the same type of thing. Like, you know, like, I just caught on to that. I was like, you tricksters, Warner Brothers. I see what your game is. But
awesome. It was also recently announced that Guillermo del Toro is going to be developing the new Incredible Hulk TV series with Marvel TV and ABC. What do y'all think of that? It was rumored. Wow. It was rumored earlier this month, but it turns out that all that talk and stuff ended up being true, and now they're currently working out the deal. It's going to happen.
Well, it seems to have gone full circle. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Hulk being obviously a comic book, but then being a television show, I think it's better suited, unfortunately. I mean, based on my opinion of the past two films, it just is better suited on the smaller screen. And
there's a lot they can do with it, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be huge, huge amounts of money put into production, you know, hopefully, at least for the television series. And, you know, I mean, hopefully the likes of, you know, a Lost or a Heroes or even the new Terra Nova, you know. I mean, those types of things, those types of television shows, putting that kind of cash and backing behind it into the production value will definitely help. But I think it's better suited on the small screen. That's just my gut initial reaction.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's going to be some good things. It'll be interesting to see who they casted as Bruce Banner in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, out of all the Bruce Banners we've had, who will serve as Bruce Banner on TV?
It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to bulk up Doug Jones to be the Hulk.
Yeah, that brings up a big thing, because either they have a painted dude, or they are going to spend at least $4 million per episode doing a CG Hulk, and if they don't put money into it, it will look bad.
Yeah,
well, exactly. That's the thing. It's going to be a mixture of all three. It's going to be a mixture of CGI, a mixture of puppeteering, and a mixture of bodysuit.
With Del Toro, I mean, that's what he's known for, is like the monster makeup and stuff, like the creations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, and he said something about wanting to take, you know, just put a new spin on the character and like the look of the character too. So that, more than anything else, I think I'm more interested to see kind of what the Hulk is actually going to look like under Del Toro's watch.
Yeah, because he might not be a big Hulk.
He is designing the look of the Hulk for the series. Yeah. And he'll direct it if he has the time. At least the pilot episode. So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, and I think with him, with Del Toro behind, or with his hand in the pot or whatever, that's kind of the only way I'm really interested in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
especially with it being on ABC.
Like, yeah.
Network, really, again, like, this is what's happening. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Del Toro, you know, he's got enough kind of clout in my mind to make any project that he attaches himself to worth giving a look.
Give it a chance, yeah, at least.
Definitely.
I wonder if they're going to do what, like, AMC did with The Walking Dead, where just let's try it out for 6 episodes, like they did with Battlestar, where they did, like, those... You know, those.
Yeah, yeah. No, it'll
just,
be interesting.
Just test it out and see what happens.
I think with big budget productions like that, they're going to have to. Yeah. I think that's the only way they can do it. Because if it doesn't catch, if people aren't watching, then all of a sudden they've got, you know, 13, 14 episodes.
But it's a network thing, though. I mean, Walking Dead is on AMC, Battlestar was on Sci-Fi, right?
Yeah.
So,
true.
You know, there's that. V, you know, who would have thought that V would be back for another season or something, you know?
Not
and they put a lot of money, I'm sure, into all the effects and stuff with that. So I don't think the networks, and I guess V is actually on ABC too, so I guess ABC's not really opposed to dumping a bunch of money into something that may or may not ultimately be successful. But
well, right. on a side note there, I mean, am I the only one here that actually likes V? Am I the only one?
Honestly, I never saw it. Maybe. I've never watched it, so I can't say that it's bad. I'm just saying I wouldn't have thought that it would have been successful.
I gave it 6 episodes, and I did not like it.
Well, I watched the first season, and then I stopped.
I watched maybe the first 3 episodes, and I just kind of forgot about it. But I think how they did, like, however they marketed, but whatever programming strategy they did kind of killed the momentum of the show. And people just kind of stopped they fell out of watching it, you know?
Yeah, they went on a break for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to do it. I mean, obviously, they people find other shows that they're watching and they're invested in, and they fall off, and that's going to happen, so, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see
what. Do we know of any other Marvel properties coming through ABC?
There's three shows, live action shows that they're working on. Hulk is the only one that they've really announced.
There's been talk of a Punisher show, but I seriously doubt that that's going to be on ABC.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty hard. That's ABC yeah. Family.
After the pregnant teen.
Yeah.
Secret Life of the American Teenager. It should be interesting to see what other shows they do, what other TV shows Great they have show. Planned. So, and I'm looking forward to that. Just also really wanted to talk quickly about this new Amazon Studios that has launched. Found out today that Amazon.com, who you all know, this is where you buy your DVDs and books and whatever else you're looking for online. And, you know, they've been selling crap to the world's for a while now.
I think that's actually their tagline. Amazon.com selling crap to the world for a while now.
If not, it should be.
They've now launched a website called Amazon Studios. They're getting into film production. And they want your ideas. If you are a filmmaker, a screenwriter, storyboard artist, you got ideas, they want them. They set up this site so you can upload whatever you got, and it can be viewed by all the other users of the website. The other users can come in, they can edit your stuff, they can go through and add some things, take away stuff, just making whatever you have better.
Yeah.
And they... You know, there's like constructive criticism. So now there's websites out there that do that where you can upload your screenplay and people can give you updates and stuff and help you in, you know, polishing up that screenplay. But what these other sites don't have is a connection to Warner Brothers Studios, which is who Amazon Studios has partnered with. If you upload your script or short film or film to this site, it has potential. Warner Brothers has first look at it in, as a potential to them turning this idea into a full length feature film.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they have an option agreement that basically you sign on and they will basically hold it and for 18 months.
18 months. They have exclusive rights to it, to do whatever they want with it.
On top of that, with ownership of the property, if people collaborate with you on it, you may have as little as half ownership of a script that you originally submitted, if there's enough collaboration from the community.
Yeah.
Which seems kind of detrimental, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. The community... also, like, basically the idea is, like, you upload a script and there are filmmakers who can take any part of your script and make part of it to show their, like, directing or artistic skills to show that they can, you know, make this film, or you as the writer can do that. So they showed stuff where it's, like, just, like, stick figure animation to stuff where people actually were shooting the actual parts of the script. Basically anything you can do. I think it's interesting. I have a feeling that with Amazon Studios that they're probably going to have more of a community, and I don't think we're going to have as many great things come out of this.
You know, I hope something great comes out of it. This gives people an opportunity who wouldn't have an opportunity otherwise to have their script actually looked at, and if it's good, if their stuff is actually good, then they will forward your work to Warner Brothers, who will then decide what happens with it from there.
Well, that's only so if you win. That's through, if you win the monthly prize or
yeah, there's
one of
a
the
monthly
runner-up
prize.
Runner-up.
And who decides that?
There are guest judges, and these are veterans who work in the industry. If you have already professionally written a script, you are ineligible. This is the quote for rookies only.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you are a professional writer or script writer or something like that, you're not eligible for this.
Which I think is cool.
And the prize is what, like a hundred? Oh, sorry, Bankman, I just cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say that it's cool that, you know, that those people that are already involved in the filmmaking process, that already have their foot in the door, that have written scripts, can't get involved with this, that it's people that are just struggling to make it in the industry. Because, you know, the entertainment industry is one of the hardest industries to get involved with.
Sure.
And this, you know, gives these people an outlet to actually have their stuff seen.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to submit crap, you know, but it's the good stuff that anyone really cares about anyway.
Yeah.
So if there is a talented person out there, if there is someone that's got like a great talent for writing or a great talent for directing, and they don't know how to get an agent or what they need to do, I mean, this is a perfect outlet for these people to actually have their stuff seen.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of it is going to, like, how many actual people are going to emerge from this in a successful way.
There's actually communities that do this type of stuff where they do help you with getting stuff polished and things like that. And I'm just wondering, because of the prize nature and the guest judges and Warner Brothers, is if that's enough to pull enough talent, or will we only see like 2-3, maybe who knows, even if we have 10 films great that come out of this, that's like what, 3 months of films?
And that's 4 months really of, unlikely compared, to me that we're gonna have 10 really great movies that come out of this specific thing in its entire existence. I think that's like way overshooting it, I think.
Yeah,
well, here's the thing. I mean,
I feel like this is the American Idol of script writing.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. These guys are in it. They're obviously, they want to make a profit. This is why they set it up. They set it up to find people and then make money off these people's work.
Yeah.
And produce these films so they can make money. It's a profit thing.
Yeah. Well,
because it is. They do need to bring in a profit for it. They are going to pull the trigger on these films. We will see films come out of this. Because if not, then no one makes any money, and there's no point.
Well, they're only risking like about like $2.5 million for this whole thing. That is not really that much.
Right.
The fact that they have the Amazon distribution platform is probably what's more interesting. But the thing is, that's a platform for finished content. They don't have finished content. They've got scripts. Something is like, the thing is, when they're optioning your script, you get $100,000, and if you break $60 million, if that movie that you wrote breaks $60 million, you get an additional $100,000. I mean, there's other points and stuff that you're gonna be getting, but it seems like they're easily lifted the risk off of themselves by, you know, you're basically, you know,
everything away.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much,
to get made, basically.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like that's the risk anyway. I mean, for a first-time filmmaker, you're going to sign everything away anyway. I mean, you got these filmmakers out there that are putting second mortgages on their house and paying for it themselves. You know, selling it off for a couple $100,000 at a festival, you know, and they lose all their rights right there anyway at a festival.
Yeah, so they still sometimes they do still receive points, and I think you know if this it gets picked up, you'll probably be put into the union and all that stuff, and you could find some way to some percentage points, but still it would be really, really small. I for some reason, for me, unless there's more ownership on the side of the writer and things like that, it makes me really nervous. I wouldn't want to put my own material into it, just because of that. It doesn't seem like a fair deal, or where they're putting forward the same amount of risk as, because if this was a closed system, I think it would be probably attract a lot more people because it's getting vetted. But because it's an open system that everyone can see your stuff, and the thing is, people can take your script and they can add to it, and they can change and move things around. I mean, I think there might be some kind of approval process, but it's really weird because something they said is like, I was just reading through the frequently asked questions, and it's like, hey, what if there's a really great character from another script that I read on the site? Can I mash it up with another script? I'm like, no. But the thing is, how do you know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing is that's how Hollywood works anyway.
Yeah.
You think about it. I mean, if you're a screenwriter and you sell your script to a studio, it's not your script anymore. And they send that script off to three or four other different writers.
The thing is, you haven't sold it yet. You've just posted it.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. That's the difference between this and what Bankman is talking about. In the Hollywood version, you make money and then it's gone, and that's fine because you've got your money.
you're
posting it, and that's my biggest thing with it is like, yeah, it sounds great, but my instant like gut reaction when I first heard about this was like, wow, Warner Brothers just found a way to jack so many ideas from anybody who has a relatively good one and not give them any credit at all, because they could just have their own batch of screenwriters just sitting there looking through all of these things and just taking things left and right, and nothing.
Yeah,
you know, there's no copyright involved with this kind of thing. You post it on the internet and have people edit it, that's game on for whatever. Like, that's, you're just losing any chance that you have at getting an original idea
and
out
you
there.
And that's the thing, you can't put an original idea up there because it will be taken, but if you don't, you're not going to get noticed.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this is good in theory. Like, yeah, you know, they've got all these press releases that make it sound amazing. I think as difficult as it is to actually break into the system the normal way with getting an agent and a manager and all that stuff, I think that's still the way to go.
If there's more protections in place.
Yeah.
I feel like this is almost, this kind of deal is like bands signing on for like a 3-album deal where they basically get screwed out of all their money and have no chance of making anything until they're like their 4th album.
At which point nobody cares about them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I said like this is feels like the American Idol. I mean, those kids, they don't make money till who knows when, right? So,
Pete Vader, what do you think?
Well, for me, regardless of what the rules are now, I was kind of thinking about this sort of the concept of, you know, having other people edit your work, but like who's going to be the next big studios? Because I kind of had the belief that, you know, we're the Big Six now.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt like it wasn't capped by any means, and so I was thinking maybe like Google or something would come up with like a studio system, but I guess Amazon. You know,
taking steps in that direction.
Yeah, it will be interesting to me to see if they can somehow spin off, and you know, right now they have Warner Brothers as their partner. Maybe like break that relationship with Warner Brothers and become, maybe not with this sort of current concept, but in the long run, after maybe they've put out a couple successful films, become like
a mini studio.
Yeah, and become like a player and compete with you know, some of the Big Six as they stand right now.
Yeah.
So, regardless of how the rules are set up now, to me this is an interesting evolution in kind of the studio film system.
I think there's going to be room. It feels like there's going to be someone who comes out with an idea that is going to allow some kind of collaborative tool in this space and allow it to be something where it can move forward. Because there's so much. There's so many talented people out there, and there's so many people at the top who, you know, this particular, the system we have now keeps them in power, and it keeps people who are bad from being noticed. You guys have probably never heard of this website. It's called dribble.com, and it is a sharing website for designers. And I love this website. What happens is you have a small screenshot that you can share of your work. And what happens is, because it's an invite-only system, the best designers invite the best designers, and it's just like the cream of the crop is there, and everyone is creating amazing content. In fact, what happens now is, because everyone is putting amazing content on there, everyone has to keep outdoing each other to keep on top of it. And just looking at like the stuff that was first posted on the site to compared to what's on the site currently, it's just amazing how far it's gotten. It's kind of like in sports where you kind of have, you know, someone who's breaking the world record and you can see how they do it, and then like someone break it, because you can see all those techniques and stuff like that. And it feels like if we had a community that was truly open, that had the ability for writers to be able to sharpen and highly iterate their skill set, so that like we'll look back at, you know, the kinds of scripts that were going around and go, wow, like how could people get away with writing this bad when there's tons of writers who are amazing and writing better and better all the time.
Yeah, Tiberius, I want to go to you in just a second, because I know you haven't really said much during this part, but there's one thing that I wanted to mention before I totally forget it, and it's kind of jumping off of what Mazur said about the studios kind of relying on the internet and stuff. P. Vader and I actually had a chance to go listen to this conversation between Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood recently, and Leo was talking about, like, he has Appian Way, which is his production company. And he was like, you know, somebody during the Q&A part was like, hey, what advice would you give to, like, a 24-year-old filmmaker, blah, blah, blah. Which is, again, one of those kind of douchebag questions that comes up in every Q&A. But he was like...
Are you on a first-name basis with Leo now?
I am.
All right, Venkman. All right. So he was saying... he was just basically, like, encouraging all of us to, like, if you have a project, put it out there, because... And we've seen this, too, reporting on it over the past couple years. More than ever now, you know, 5-minute YouTube videos are getting turned into feature films and stuff like that, you know. So the studio... And Leo was saying, like... Mr. DiCaprio was saying that you really have to, you know, he's got his people at Appian Way who are just constantly scouring the internet, looking for ideas, looking for concepts and things to turn into features. So there are people out there in the studio system, in production companies, really high up, looking for content on the web outside of the Hollywood system, which is good news for all those talented people, Mazur, you're talking about, that are out there that just haven't been able to break into that system yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's just going to be one of those things where, there is going to have to be some sort of evolution of a system that will allow them to kind of hone their skills or whatever, and then move from that up into the final distribution process. And
there's
got to
be
all that kind of stuff.
It's got to be, you know, there's got to be great tools out there. I don't know.
Yeah, but Tiberius, what do you think?
Well, the key thing is, with Amazon producing, you know, or having the ability to sell their DVDs and all of their media like that, as well as the download option, which a lot of people are forgetting, the download option, you know, for Roku players or other video on demand services. I think this is a natural progression for them with this Amazon production company, but. To be honest with you, I have a lot of great ideas that I would not even consider putting out there onto this Amazon Productions, you know, in terms of a script, because it's going to get cannibalized. And, you know, the whole idea sounds great, sounds wonderful, but it's not something I would do, definitely.
Yeah.
It feels like if they had a community where, like, I don't know, I was just like writing challenges, where it's like everyone is writing the exact same thing and the best thing is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That seems more – that sounds something good. Yeah,
that sounds like, yeah. Okay. And then you go, look at all these talented writers.
Yeah.
Let's do another writing challenge.
I mean, there's stuff
like
that.
And if people keep rising to the top
– yeah, there's stuff – and I think putting everybody on an equal playing field is what's going to do it, because there's stuff like that out now. I was actually part of the 48-hour film festival like 3 years ago, where we had a team and each person gets you know, like kind of a story and – three different props that have to show up in the story, and then you just let the each team go and make your movie. So it's all really different stuff, but they are incorporating the same elements, and that's how you know,
there's
see who can make who can make the best stuff based on the same thing. You know, directors and stuff have said that all the time. You can give a couple different directors the same exact pages of a script and you can shoot it 1,000 different ways. You know,
yeah.
It's totally all about style and all that, and that's what's really going to attract the attention of people in the long run.
Phillips had a contest, I think maybe a year ago, that they had like three really random weird sounding pieces of dialogue, and you had all these filmmakers making films based on it, and one guy created like a crazy 3D film and I think it was so interesting that they picked up that as a movie,
really,
even though it has the exact same dialogue as all these other films.
Yeah,
and so there's like a million dollar prize for it.
That's a perfect example right there.
Yeah,
so
it seems like they, instead of putting up scripts, it seems like if there's if you can make it like they're gonna build a community. I don't think they're gonna find their films out of this. I think what's going to happen is people are going to work on each other's scripts and they're going to recognize other talented people, and then they're going to go do it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it on Amazon.
Yeah. I feel like everyone should just, like, all the people in Hollywood should listen to what we just talked about for like the past 15 minutes, because I feel like we had some really good ideas in there.
All right.
Off the soapbox now.
Yeah.
No, those are good points.
Yeah, we're going to kind of wind down now, everybody. So everybody just calm down. Let's take it down here. Let's just quickly go through what's coming out this weekend and wrap it up. We've got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, which I'm sure everyone is excited to see. Mazer's already got his tickets, and he is currently camping out. You're doing your podcast in line currently, aren't
well,
you?
Well,
right?
I'm sitting in a lawn chair with the Geek Tyrant t-shirt so that people know that that's how Geek Tyrant represents. Yeah.
Nice.
We love – the thing – my wife thinks I'm ridiculous because I like going to wait in line for movies, but I feel like it's just part of the experience, and I'm pretty sure that's how it is for a lot of people who would call themselves a Geek Tyrant.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even for movies like Clash of the Titans.
Yep.
Take the good with the bad.
Has anyone else here got their tickets yet?
I haven't. I haven't, but I've been wanting to.
Okay.
Tron tickets are available now already, by the way.
Yeah. Ben?
Just letting you guys know.
Dude,
Vader?
I don't have my tickets, no.
I'm not going to see it now.
Ben's doing an experiment with the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, yes. My goodness gracious.
I could have sworn I told you guys about this.
You did,
yeah.
I totally forgot, though,
okay,
but
yeah.
Yes.
I don't know about it.
Oh, sorry,
fill
yeah. Real
fill
quick,
me in.
I've never read a Harry Potter book nor seen one of the movies. So I'm not going to watch this one now, because why would I go through and watch all of them and then have to wait another 6 months until the next one, the final one, actually comes out? So as soon as the last one comes out in, what, July of next year?
Yeah.
Then I'll just watch all of them up to that point and go see the last one in the theater. But at this point, since I haven't seen any of them, there's no point in me watching them and then forgetting what happens in the 7 months in between. So,
yeah. Word of advice. Yeah.
No, you are basically the exact opposite of that world's biggest Harry Potter fan.
Oh my gosh, that video was insane.
I saw a headline about that. I didn't actually watch the video. What was going on with that?
I can't even describe to the level.
You just have to watch it.
Okay,
you have
to
see it to believe it. He truly is the world's biggest Harry Potter fan.
Where's he from? Because his accent is not...
No, he says that I think he's from America.
Yeah.
Because he said somewhere in there that he's American, that he's the big, you know, he's like, He's looking permanently in character. America's biggest Harry Potter fan. Well, what you found is the world's biggest Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to self-proclaim himself, I am the real Harry Potter. You're just like, oh my gosh.
And you know what? He looks close enough to be Daniel Radcliffe's stunt double. Right?
Well, and Tiberius True. And I were joking around today where we were like, so does his wife call him the real Harry Potter as well?
I don't think he has a wife.
No. We think he has a wedding band on his finger.
That's probably some sort of mystical ring of Algernon.
If Harry's not wearing that ring, he's not wearing that ring. It might be something tied to the books.
As awesome as that sounds, I don't think it will make any sense to me, not having seen any of the movies. So I'll probably just wait until I'll bookmark that and then
You'll be fine seeing it. It just goes, you get an idea of all the different aspects of all the crap that's really out there that people can buy.
He owns more Harry Potter stuff than J.K. Rowling even know exists.
Yeah. Did I really license all that stuff?
Huh?
That's what she was saying about licensing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, that will definitely be there. Be seeing that movie.
Does anything else actually open though this weekend?
The next 3 days. That's the Russell Crowe.
Oh yes.
Movie. It's gonna totally fail at the box office. But they should have known that going up against Harry Potter.
Why did that? I mean. Talk about
it had to get placed somewhere, I guess.
Well, it's for people who are afraid of witchcraft.
Okay. These are the same people that are afraid of witchcraft, but they have no problem with killing people and breaking someone out of jail. That's perfect. That's great.
Very small segment.
Is the next 3 days a Paul Haggis feature?
Yes, I believe it is.
All right.
I don't know. I think most of us are going to be out. Yeah, it does look good, but I'll probably end up seeing Harry Potter first.
Agreed.
Or twice.
Or twice before I see the next 3 days.
I actually am probably going to go see that Harry Potter twice. Once this weekend, and then I have family coming in from out of town. And plus the new AMC dine-in theater is opening by me. So I may end up going to see that. while having some food. I don't know.
You're going to have to tell us how that experience is.
Well, I may be going there this weekend, too. They sent me an invite to come out and do kind of a test run.
Nice.
But what's playing, though, is all like movies that have been out and gone from the theater. So, it's not anything brand new. That's the thing I wish they would do is have an actual new movie, God forbid. But no, they have Eat, Pray, Love, which does not interest me in the slightest.
You can actually eat while watching Eat, Pray, Love.
Instead of leaving hungry.
Spiritually.
Yes. No, but anyway.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on our 96th podcast. Make sure to come back and join us next week when we talk about Harry Potter. And maybe one of us would have seen the next 3 days. Who knows?
Probably not.
Until then, just keep coming to the site. Keep reading our stuff. We appreciate everybody that stops by the site and, is reading up on everything. So thank you for that. Thanks for your support.
And thanks to Tiberius for showing up this week.
Yeah. Thank you.
I am glad to be here. Hopefully I'll be invited back again.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Anytime.
I mean, it's almost 2:00 here in East Coast time.
Oh, God. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's okay.
All right, so we're gonna let Tiberius go to sleep now.
It's okay.
This podcast is like a midnight screening.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Nice.
Thank you very much, everybody, once again, and have a great day, evening, afternoon, and enjoy the rest of whatever part of your day you're on right now. And I'm rambling.
Goodbye.
Rambling and rambling.
I'm just gonna
rambling.